another black eye for GA in a weekend TFR. Political turmoil follows a compromise on Okinawa. And what's with this public spat between DC-3 owners and the EAA? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 1st, 2010. The TFR for President Obama's Memorial Day weekend getaway to Chicago ended yesterday, but not before some guy in an RV-8 busted it. NORAD scrambled two F-15s Saturday afternoon, and the pilot was forced to land at Aurora, Illinois, where he was met by local authorities for what the government likes to call an interview. We're all sick of hearing it, but here goes. If you plan to fly within 30 miles of the president's second home, or anywhere else for that matter, check for NOTAMs and call for a briefing before you go. Protesters outside the U.S. airbase on Okinawa have become a more common sight in recent years as Japanese neighbors complain that the base brings increased noise and increased crime. As part of his election campaign, Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama promised to move the base off Okinawa. But on Thursday, following diplomatic talks, a deal was struck with the U.S. to move the base from its current location, but not off the island, just to a less populated area. Protesters are really angry now, and the New York Times reports that half of all Japanese polled now want Hatoyama to resign. Compounding his problems, Hatoyama was criticized publicly for the compromise by the leader of the Social Democrats, Mizuho Fukushima. She says the prime minister has turned his back on Okinawans. He responded by firing her on Friday. Now the Social Democrats have resigned from the coalition government. That's not an immediate political crisis, since Hatoyama's Democratic Party holds a majority, but it's more ugly news ahead of a July 11th primary election, which could cost him his job. There's a joke in here somewhere about getting voted off the island. I just don't know whether it's the prime minister or the base. TheLastTime.org, the group which has been raising funding and arranging logistics for the staging of 40 or more DC-3s before a formation arrival at Oshkosh this year, says its plan to stage at Whiteside Airport in Illinois is still a go, despite an attempt by the Experimental Aircraft Association to take over the staging and move it to an alternate airport. Last Wednesday, EAA issued a statement asserting its exclusive control over the arrival and asking DC-3 pilots planning to take part to register directly with EAA to receive essential information. But Whiteside Airport manager Mike Dowell tells ANN it went much further and confirmed a report to ANN that EAA VP Adam Smith, who has served in the past as director of aircraft attractions for AirVenture, informed the Last Time group that EAA would announce a new staging airport in 2 weeks and would expect DC-3 owners to change their plans. In communications on the issue with ANN so far, EAA has not denied an intent to designate a different staging airport, but does say the issue had nothing to do with enhancing its own revenue opportunities. EAA has provided ANN with a copy of correspondence from EAA Chairman and President Tom Poberesny to DC-3 owner and pilot Dan Grider, also identified in public records as the registrant for the lasttime.org website, decrying a lack of appropriate communication from his group, asserting that all DC-3 activities taking place at AirVenture must be under EAA's direct control, and expressing a concern that all DC-3 enthusiasts, whether part of the Last Time or not, be welcomed without exclusions. It's kind of unfortunate that this dispute went public without the details necessary to understand the issues. Whiteside Airport manager Mike Dowell is my guest on today's Aero News special feature, and I'm awaiting confirmation of a request for an interview with Tom Poberesny. We'll hope to bring you that tomorrow. Up next on ANN, a kit plane explodes after fueling with ethanol-diluted autogas. A DPE dies during a check ride gone wrong. And AirTran and Delta face DOT fines for advertising policies. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board has released a preliminary report on the May 7th explosion of a van's RV-10 following landing at Ridgeland Airport in South Carolina. The pilot told investigators the plane had just passed the 150-hour mark on the flight from Athens, Georgia. He also reports that about 200 feet from the runway on final approach, he caught a brief whiff of what he thought was gas. His passenger asked if they should open the door after landing. The pilot asked him to wait until they cleared the runway. Before they could get that door open, there was a flash explosion that blew out the windows and the door. After the pilot used an extinguisher to subdue a fire on the cabin floor and was walking away, a secondary explosion engulfed the plane in flames. The plane was almost totally consumed by the fire. It's not clear what investigators will be able to learn, but they do know the power plant was a Chevy LS2 V8, similar to the 6-liter engine used in Corvettes and GTOs a few years ago, and it had been fueled earlier in the day with auto fuel containing 10% alcohol. Boston area media are reporting that a simulated engine out during a helicopter instructor check ride became the real thing last Wednesday, and the resulting crash of a Schweitzer 269C fatally injured 57-year-old Mike Wheeler of Watertown, New York, the designated pilot examiner. The student was not identified, but reports indicate she was conscious and talking when rescued. She's said to have told authorities they tried to auto-rotate down to a clearing, but hit trees instead. She's been hospitalized with injuries, which include fractures of both hips. WBZ News reports the accident happened on Swanson Road in the area of Route 111 and 495 in Boxborough, Mass. An investigation is underway. The U.S. Department of Transportation says AirTran Airways and Delta Airlines have violated rules that require airline price advertisements to disclose the full price consumers must pay for air transportation. AirTran was fined $20,000 and Delta $40,000. DOT says that on February 16th, AirTran posted a press release on its website advertising fares starting as low as $39 one way as part of a 72-hour promotion. DOT says its investigation found there were no seats available for $39 and that the lowest available fare for the sale was actually $44. Delta is charged with violating a rule that requires notice of taxes and fees, including the requirement for a link that takes a consumer directly to a description of the nature and amounts of those charges. In what's quickly becoming boilerplate, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "Our fair advertising rules are designed to ensure that consumers know how much they will pay for a ticket when they shop for air travel. We expect airlines to comply with our rules and will continue to take enforcement action when necessary," unquote. Still ahead, the first of the Gen 2 GPS satellites is up and running. Rolls-Royce is developing its new two-shaft turbine in Germany. And it may pay to be a sound sleeper. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Somewhere, a Boeing salesman can finally exhale. The first on-orbit signals from the new GPS 2F1 satellite, the first in a 12-satellite constellation that Boeing's building for the Air Force, were received on Thursday. The signals indicate the spacecraft bus is functioning normally and ready to begin orbital maneuvers and operational testing. The GPS 2F satellites are an upgrade from the existing constellation of 30 Gen 1 satellites and promise more precise and powerful signals, a longer design life, and many other benefits to nearly 1 billion civilian and military users worldwide. Boeing says production of the next 11 2F satellites is already well underway. The next launch is expected later this year. Rolls-Royce started working on a new two-shaft turbine engine design in 2003 and says 3-2B, the latest core engine build of its E3E engine, has now accumulated 40 hours of testing. E3E stands for Efficiency, Environment, Economy, and goals include reduction of fuel burn and CO2 emissions by 15% compared to current technology, and reductions in oxides of nitrogen emissions as well. The testing is being done at the Stuttgart University Altitude Test Facility with German funding. Further builds on the 3-2B core over the next 2 years will undergo testing that simulates 1,200 cycles at max takeoff power. And finally today, I've always found it tough to sleep on airline flights. I've also been a little envious of fellow passengers who could. I'm suddenly happier with being a light sleeper. CNN reports that a week ago today, 36-year-old Ginger McGuire took a Trans-States Regional, operated under codeshare as United Express, from Detroit to Philadelphia. Following a delay, she finally made it into Philly sometime after midnight. She'd be hard-pressed to say exactly how long after midnight it was, however, because she never woke up as her fellow passengers deplaned. And the flight attendants apparently didn't check the cabin as required by Trans-States policy before they turned out the lights and locked up the parked plane for the night. When a cleaning crew boarded about 4 hours later and found Ginger, they called the TSA. And, as you might expect, given how commonplace it is to find 30-something red-haired women with Irish surnames involved in terrorism, TSA wrongfully detained and interrogated Ginger, or at least that's what she says in her lawsuit. That suit's been filed against Trans-States and United seeking between $25,000 and $75,000 for negligence, infliction of emotional distress, false imprisonment, and breach of contract. Wait a minute. If she wins, should I go back to envying passengers who can sleep soundly? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Mike Dowell, manager of the Whiteside County Airport in Sterling, Illinois, about what it takes to stage 40 or more DC-3s headed for Oshkosh, and we'll get his take on the controversy between thelastflight.org and EAA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.